Okay. Well, I'll move into Q&A. And so this is for Aaron. Is Grameen's e-warehouse database a proprietary system? And also to Aaron, how scalable and sustainable is the Salesforce platform for use elsewhere? I think the platform is available to others, or that was a question. And additionally, your software developed on that platform. Aaron?
Yeah, so the database is on the Salesforce platform. A lot of the information, there's a lot of detailed information on the farmer. So the data itself is not necessarily open to the public, but Salesforce is a system that's available to any organization interested. It's a customer relationship management software as well as a platform where you can develop a lot of integration with mobile data collection applications. Grameen Foundation has a TerraWorks software that we've developed where we do customized data collection surveys, and that integrates with the Salesforce platform. So that's something that other organizations, if interested, could also access.
Thank you. So another question is from Marika Olson with USAID Mali. Are these bags the oxygen excluding triple bag system or the standard storage bags? Aaron?
Is that for me?
Yeah, I believe so. Or Marika, were you asking that of the general population? The chat group. All right, well, we'll come back to that. Sorry, go on, Aaron.
So for e-warehouse, there's not one bag. There's a few different types of bags that are considered acceptable for e-warehouse storage. And so we don't provide the bags. So Farm Concern does help connect them to the technology that needed to store, but we don't offer the technology ourselves.
Okay. Next question is, I believe also for, well, could be open for the group, is from Hossein Kalisoni from the Rwanda Ministry of Agriculture, who's currently in the Netherlands working on, as a master's student. In the case of market instability, how can warehouse receipts support smallholder farmers on financial with their financial assets, and who is in charge of the guaranteed market? Anyone? Okay, we'll have to. Judy, Aaron, any thoughts? Nope. Okay. Well, we'll move to the next question. Steve Lin, independent consultant. What is the sustainability? This is for Aaron. What is the sustainability of all these interactions provided by Grameen?
So, Grameen Foundation, in this case, we really play the role of developing the technology and the integration between the financial service provider and the e-warehouse. We do rely heavily on agricultural actors that are on the ground, that are working with the farmers, and that have field networks that can deliver and collect information from the farmers. And so, we all kind of play our own role. And so in terms of scaling up, we would identify other agricultural actors. We're not going to play that role ourselves. We would really leverage existing networks out there to really be the boots on the ground delivering these services and also helping monitor market prices and connecting the farmers to potential buyers. That's not a role that we really see ourselves playing. our role in this is developing the technology to enable it. And so we'll never be the lender. There will need to be a financial institution involved that will extend advances, and an agricultural actor also involved working with the farmers. But for us, the role of technology to enable these interactions is the space we're in.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Nope. All right. Next question. Casey Chang from the ADM Institute for Post-Harvest Loss at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign asks, what are the challenges to scale up the warehouse receipt systems or e-warehouses, which is a very key question for Feed the Future initiative, where we've been working quite a bit on scaling up ag technologies. Anyone on the panel?
On e-warehouse, I mean, we will have to rely heavily on partnerships, and we really see this being multi-to-multi platform, where we would work with multiple agricultural NGOs in different geographies and multiple financial institutions. And so for us, the next step, really, you know, with the pilot, we developed the technology necessary to conduct the pilot. And we're really looking now at the overall IT architecture and trying to build something that can be scaled, where it is a many-to-many type of platform. So I think that's a challenge that we see in scaling up, but it's also something that would be really necessary to support scale.
Scott, do you have any thoughts on scaling up? Okay. Well, I'll move on to the next question. This one comes from Henneke Lam with NRI based in the UK. The question goes, when farmers store in physical warehouses, the warehouses are often certified and regularly inspected, which adds to trust in the system by, e.g., financial institutions and insurers, and reduces risks. This is absent in the e-warehouse system, but seems to be substituted by the group guarantee system, village knowledge workers, and quality quantity surveys. However, are the transaction costs in the latter system not too high for it to be commercially viable once donor support phases out? Aaron, do you have thoughts on this?
Sure. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's not the same type of certification and security that you have with a physical warehouse. And we've tried to build in a number of control mechanisms to minimize risk, and that includes the role of the VKWs, the farmers, the group guarantees, and the costs are much less. The compensation for the VKWs would need to continue. And Farm Concerns Plan really is to have that be something that the community pays for over time, to once, you know, when they really see the value of the information that they're getting and the role that the VKW is playing, taking over more of that compensation. In our mind, we see agricultural players being integral to this model, and in some cases I think they will have a sustainability plan for how they would continue providing these services when donor support ends. But in many cases, we would assume that the agricultural actors would need to have some funding outside of ours to support these activities.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. We'll go to the next question. This comes from Josimo Roca in Silver Spring, Maryland, who's with ADRA International. Goes, Scott mentioned about the commodity exchange as an important player in warehouse receipts. Can you please give an example of how you've been able to work with commodity exchanges? Could the commodity exchanges be the facilitators of the warehouse receipts, or is it more a sort of information provider?
So, Scott, this is Judy. Have you worked at all with commodity exchanges? DC Hay is just a little experience. So I would comment that commodity exchanges are a huge step beyond warehouse receipts. And a step that should be taken cautiously. There may be some experience in East Africa that somebody could comment on, but so far the commodity exchanges haven't really played out very well. There is a regional one that's based in Rwanda that I came across last year that maybe somebody can comment on in our box, in our chat.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. So the next question comes from Linda Fulponi, who's a consultant with OECD in Paris. She asks, directed at Aaron, the e-warehouse is innovative but seems complex for easy use in the least developed countries. Has the system been used elsewhere with success? How profitable for warehouses and producers?
Sorry, can you repeat just the last part of the question? How profitable?
How profitable for warehouses and producers?
Okay. So this pilot is the first that we've done in Kenya. In some ways, it's an easier place to implement something like this because of the prevalence of M-Pesa and using that mobile money transfer platform to disperse loans and make payments directly to farmers. We are looking at introducing it in Uganda, where we actually have a field network of community knowledge workers that we do manage, but I'm not aware of any project of this nature where it really provides information, financing, and markets with technology being implemented or tested anywhere else. In terms of profitability, I mean, we're not using the larger physical warehouses. We are looking at more village-level storage. And actually, I think in the next iteration of this, I think we'd look more at village-level storage that farmers could access financing to manage and support. And I think there's demand for it, and I think if we're working with a financial service provider, there's a lot of different financial needs and products that could be developed in response to that need. And another lesson that we've learned throughout implementation is we did a lot of additional technology development in the second harvest to make more and more of the surveys multiple choice or smart entry, where it needed to be a certain number of digits, certain things needed to be completed. We have a data analyst on the back end that reviews the content that comes in and follows up with BKWs if things don't look quite right. Really, at this point, with the financial institutions that we've worked with, in order for them to get comfortable, I think they've wanted loan officers to be a bit more involved and to verify the stock before they would extend loans. And so they've played that role, though I think the role of data validators is important and is something we haven't really built into this project other than FCI or Farm Concern. Still maintaining some manual records that we can use to double check.
Okay, thank you, Erin. The next question is from Steve Lin. While village-level storage is great for buffering producers against lean season, high-priced grain purchases, I don't see how it fits into warehouse receipts, since there isn't a third party guaranteeing warehouse stores that enjoys the confidence of lenders. Is there experience to the contrary?
I don't have an answer to that question. Maybe Aaron has answered this indirectly, but I know that this is your second season, I think, for the e-warehouse system. It surely is an intriguing model and, as you say, a complicated one. Your financial service provider is a critical player in all of this. How many more seasons are you going to be able to keep this up? And I know you've addressed the sustainability question, but I guess, can you anticipate some other key partner that you'd want to bring in, a strategic one, to see if this can take off in Kenya?
Yeah, so the e-warehouse has had two seasons, and this is part of the challenge that I was describing before, where we really are tied to the seasons, and it's a two-year project, but it really only includes two full seasons, because it needs to include several months after harvest to include sale and repayment of loans. And so the USA project will end before that happens with the third season. And so what we're looking to do now is focus our attention really on the redesign and identifying partners. We do have a couple financial institutions that are very interested that we've been talking to about working with when we launch the next pilot. But at this point, that's what we're working on is doing some modifications to the project design, identifying partners, and then launching the plan for carrying this out after the next harvest.
Thanks, Erin. This is Judy again. USAID is involved with our partners in the mission in Washington with thinking about how to scale. And one of the things we're learning is that projects have to think differently about project implementation and think way beyond the project. So in starting the wheels turning and the players involved so that the service gradually goes beyond the project and is out of the control of the project implementers. This is really quite a different perspective for USAID teams as well as our implementing partners. So for example, this project was a three-year project, which is typical, and clearly you're not going to be able to scale in 3 years when you only have two harvests. Thinking differently about scaling and how we might have designed this, Erin, do you have any comments about how you might have done it differently? I mean, would you just have asked for 4 years? Or will Grameen be able to step in and provide you the funding to think strategically about scaling with one of these other financial institutions?
Yeah, it's a good point. The project was 2 years and definitely not enough time to really do everything that we had set out to do. And I think, one way of looking at it a bit differently is structuring the funding so that it's around harvest times rather than, 2 years from start to end date. If it had really been more with the harvest cycles and the agricultural periods in time might have helped. I also think we certainly needed more than a two-year runway to get this to the point where we've proven everything and are ready to scale. And I think that's really what's driving this version 2.0 and having a second pilot where we can certainly leverage all of the lessons learned and the technology developed and it won't necessarily take another 3 years, but I think probably another two before we've really proven the concept over a couple harvests and are comfortable with scaling this. And so what we're doing now is looking for some longer-term funding to be able to implement another couple years. And then the plan really would be to execute on the strategy to become financially sustainable.
Good. Thank you for your thoughts on that. I know that's it's a struggle. It sounds like if you go forward with additional funding requests, you might be bringing in a strategic partner, which would make this some sort of public-private partnership, which is sometimes easier to get funded. We do have a question about impact in this area. I know it's a little premature to measure the impact of what you're doing, but do you have researchers interested in doing a rigorous evaluation of the impact of what you're doing?
We do, actually. We're working with ITA right now on carrying out qualitative research, and they've actually accessed funding separately through the Agricultural Technology Adoption Initiative to support the qualitative research that they're conducting. But they've, I think, even approached USAID with, I think it's out of SIGA, in Berkeley, where there's professors that are very interested in carrying out an RCT when we get to the point where we want to scale. And so we've delayed that a bit. We had hoped that that would be able to start early next year at the end of this pilot, and we're not ready to do that. But we've definitely been talking to researchers who are interested in carrying out an RCT around the e-warehouse when we're at that point.
Great, that's good news. Zachary, do we have any more questions?
Thank you.